The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Welcome. Come in. I'm Tammy Grimes with another tale of the macabre. Our stories are found off the beaten track because they're about experiences uncommon to most of us. They range from strange twists of fate to supernatural experiences. Today's story is one of the latter. Gilbert Lang, a man of 50, lies in bed close to death. His 28-year-old wife is furious with Dr. Ned Eaton, who has refused her admission to Lang's locked room. Mrs. Lang has an axe in her hand.
Open that door, Doctor, or I'll break it down.
Donna, put that axe down.
Gil is dead, and you killed him.
Give that to me.
Don't you order me around. This is my house now, and I want you out of it, and I want to see Gil at once. Why is Mrs. Hollins inside there?
Give me that axe, Donna. I'll explain everything.
I don't want the corpse in the house.
Our mystery story, The Pale Horse, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Roy Windsor. It stars Earl Hammond and Mandel Kramer. I will return shortly with Act One.
When there's a big bad bungle in the jungle, and the pretty girl is running out of luck, who are we gonna get to be a hero? There's only one, Frank Buck. CBS TV, we haven't got him. So action and adventure would survive. With the TV and the guide, you can spot him.
It's Frank Buck in
Bring Him Back Alive.
Tuesday at 8, 7, Central and Mountain on CBS TV. Frank Buck stops here.
With the holidays just around the corner, why not get your fall cleaning out of the way now with value price cleaning supplies from True Value Hardware Stores. Hi, Pat Summerall to say you'll find just about everything you need to do a thorough cleaning job, like multi-purpose Bon Ami cleaner in 12-ounce cleaning powder or 14-ounce polishing cleanser for 77 cents each. And to clean floors without bending or getting your hands wet, use the Quickie Automatic Sponge Mop, now only $4.99 at participating True Value Hardware Stores.
Man, you never would believe where those Keebler cookies come from. They're baked by little elves in a hollow tree.
Are you in the hollow tree? Are you Ernie Keebler the elf?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Keebler, I'd like to introduce my mother.
Nice to meet you, ma'am. She seems resentful. Was it something I said?
It was something you baked. These Keebler Chips Deluxe cookies. I told Mother they reminded me of her homemade cookies.
Well, we do make our Chips Deluxe cookies with real eggs and brown sugar.
Hear that, Mums? Real eggs and brown sugar.
And we put in lots of big, soft, melt-in-your-mouth chocolatey chips. My mother always told me, Ernest, folks love cookies with big, soft chips.
Hear that, Mumsy? Big, soft chips.
Your mother told you that?
Yes, ma'am. My mother taught me all I know about baking cookies.
Hear that, Arthur? Elves listen to their mother.
If you think Keebler cookies taste like cookies someone's mother baked, remember, elves have mothers too.
The Pale Horse. Some of you may remember the line in Revelations. I looked, and behold a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death. Yes, that is our theme. But I do not want to mislead you. The title pertains to the subject, but with a difference. There is no dispensation from death. It is inevitable, and we know not when or how it will occur. It is one of two impenetrable mysteries, the other being life itself. Gilbert Lang is very ill. The 50-year-old man is comatose, a victim of viral pneumonia. His friend, Dr. Ned Eaton, is at his bedside.
Donna, I can't deny it. I am very concerned. He should have been moved to the hospital.
No, no. No, Gil wanted to be here. Mrs. Hollins and I have nursed him around the clock.
That's true, Doctor. We've been taking shifts.
And oxygen flow doesn't sound right.
What, Ned?
One moment. For heaven's sake, he hasn't been getting half the oxygen he needs. How did that happen, Mrs. Hollins?
Well, I don't know, Doctor.
Well, you'd better know. I gave both of you specific directions about the amount of oxygen he needs to keep his respiration. Now, without it, he has to work so hard to breathe that he could die of a heart attack. Now, do you understand?
Yes, Doctor, I'm sure I followed your instructions.
Well, of course you did, Mrs. Hollins. Maybe I was the careless one.
Well, Gil's condition is critical. Any carelessness could result in his death. Now, do both of you understand that?
Yes, don't say that, Ned.
Without antibiotics to fight the disease and oxygen to help respiration, viral pneumonia is fatal in 30% of the cases. Oh, has he been given his pills on time?
Oh, yes, Doctor, we have them right here. And I made a little chart that shows the times when he gets them. I sign it, and so does Mrs. Lang when she's on duty. You see, here it is.
Why isn't he any better, Ned?
I don't know. Gil is only 50, and he's in good health. Until the cold developed into pneumonia, he hasn't responded to penicillin or to tetracycline. Oh, I'll bring in another doctor tomorrow. Are you on the night shift, Mrs. Hollins?
Yes, sir.
Well, mind you stay awake. If there's any change in Mr. Lang's condition, will you telephone me?
Yes, sir.
May I see you downstairs, Donna?
Of course. If you need me, Addie, you just let me know.
Donna? Donna?
It's Addie, Mr. Lang.
Where's Donna?
She's with Dr. Eaton downstairs.
Not to worry.
Now, don't you talk. You just rest. I'll stay with you all night long.
Thank you, Eddie. You're so kind. You always have been.
You save your strength and rest.
I'm so weak, Eddie. I keep slipping away. I'm so weak.
We need professional nurses, Donna. Now, I must insist on that. Gil should be in the hospital, but he can't be moved now, so we'll bring the hospital to him.
But Mrs. Hollins and I have done everything that you told us.
No doubt, no doubt. But neither of you is a trained nurse, and Addie Hollins is an old woman, so if she's forgetful about the level of oxygen and the timetable for the medication, Gil will die.
Don't say that.
Well, I have to, because it's true. Now, both of you are worn out, and that's when mistakes occur. You need rest. Have you eaten?
Oh, I...
Yes, I thought not.
I simply couldn't cook, Ned.
Well, then, go out for an hour. Have dinner, and then just turn in. Have you notified the children?
Well, Helen's in London. I'll wire. John's in California.
Well, then I'll handle it, Donna.
Oh, all right.
Let's hope there'll be a change for the better during the night.
Well, you've done the best you could.
It hasn't been good enough. I can't understand where I failed. I regret that. My best friend, and I haven't been able to help him.
How is he, Donna?
Well, it's touch and go. Mostly go.
Well, shouldn't you be there? I mean, if Dr. Eaton orders an autopsy...
Well, what'll he find? Gil's weak in condition, having such a hard time breathing. He died of heart failure. It happens all the time. Now, what's the trouble, sweetheart?
Oh, well, you know, once in a while I feel funny about it.
But once it's over, you won't feel that way. We waited 3 years, Julian. A month after he dies, we clear out, travel, do all that money can buy. Why should you have cold feet?
I worry about you.
Well, there's nothing to worry about.
Well, what about his two kids?
Well, what about them? One's studying in London, and the son lives in California. It'll be over before they get here. Relax, will you?
Sure. I just wish it was over, Donna.
It will be. Tonight. Your pill, Miss Lang.
Oh, Addie.
Mm-hmm.
My pill.
There, now you look better.
I was dead, Addie.
Dead?
Disembodied. I was out of my body.
What?
I looked down on me lying here in bed. I saw me in the oxygen tent. And I saw you and the doctor. And Donna. I heard him, and he was angry about the oxygen. Then he did something with the valve. And I don't remember anything more. Where is Mrs. Lang?
Well, doctor said she needed something to eat and then to rest.
Is Mrs. Lang holding up all right, Eddie?
Yes, sir. She's mighty strong.
You don't much like her, do you, Eddie?
Well, now, that's not for me to say, Mr. Lang. I guess I just can't forget your first wife.
Yes, I know. Neither can I.
A real gentlewoman. Well, seeing the children will brighten you up.
They'll be here?
The doctor said he'd notify them.
Expecting the worst, hmm? Well, too bad. I'll try to sleep now, Eddie. You catnap.
I'll wake you when it's time for another pill.
How is he, Mrs. Holland?
Oh, about the same. Breathing sort of shallow. For a minute there, I thought he'd died. He asked for you.
He looks dead.
Doctor said if I got worried, I should telephone.
It's after 10, Mrs. Holland. Why don't you fix some food for yourself? I'll sit with him till you get back.
Oh, I'm going to telephone the doctor.
Mrs. Holland, I'll make that decision.
Oh, begging your pardon, but the doctor gave me his order.
There is no reason to disturb Dr. Eaton. My husband's condition is unchanged.
He said he died and looked down on us.
What? But that's absurd.
Well, maybe so, but he said he slipped out of his body and then came back. He might die any minute. The doctor should be here. Maybe he can do something. If you'll please excuse me.
Donna.
Gil. Gil, it's me. Donna.
I can't breathe, Donna. I have to fight to breathe.
We thought you died.
I don't think I can make it, Donna.
I'll sit with you, Gil. Now just go to sleep now.
Dr. Eaton's on his way. You'd best have some rest, Mrs. Lang.
You're the one who needs the rest, Mrs. Holland.
Well, I'm on the night shift.
No, I'll stay with Mr. Lang. You wait downstairs for the doctor.
Please.
I'm wide awake. There's nothing to worry about.
Oh, all right. If you'd sponge him all.
Yes, yes. He can't hold out. Now, the pills, I'll switch them later. I have to remember that. Why did she phone that fool doctor?
Oh, hello, Eddie. Mrs. Lang, the patient?
Yes, doctor.
Hey, what was all that about Mr. Lang slipping out of his body and looking down on us? Did he really say that?
Yes, he did. It sounded crazy to me, Doctor.
Well, it may be, but, you know, I've read about that kind of experience. Hey, how's his breathing, Addie?
Better.
Good, good. Well, come along. Let's go up to his room. I may need your help.
Yes, sir.
And how is Mrs. Lang?
She's very strong, Doctor. She keeps her feelings inside.
Oh, Ned, I think he's dead.
What? Step aside, please. It's cold. No pulse. Hand me my bag, Mrs. Collins.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
What is that, Ned?
Adrenaline. Hypodermic injection. Then I will massage his heart.
I can't stand it. Please excuse me.
Nothing's happening, Doctor.
I am aware of that.
Then he is dead?
He's breathing. Barely. Gil, can you move your lips? As long as I live, I'll never understand this. Mrs. Hollins, the oxygen.
What?
Who turned it down?
What, sir?
He's been getting only half the oxygen he needs. You are on duty, Mrs. Hollins.
Oxygen?
Who cut the supply in half? It's your responsibility, Mrs. Hollins.
Doctor, I never touched the valve.
Then how do you explain that the level is now low enough to make him have to fight for air and cause heart arrest?
I don't know. I can't explain it.
Were you with Mr. Lang all the time I left?
Yes, sir, except when I went to telephone you, and then Mrs. Lang told me to wait for you downstairs. She said she'd sit with him.
Yes, is that so, huh?
Is he gone, Doctor?
Now, nevertheless, give him another pill. No, I have one here. I'll do it. I want to see the pills he's been taking.
Yes, sir. You can see by the chart.
That is not what concerns me, Mrs. Hollins. You'd better attend Mrs. Lang. Oh, and Mrs. Hollins.
Yes, doctor?
Say nothing about our talk. Nothing. You understand? Let her think he died.
Heart failure.
Yes.
Oh, dear. Did the doctor say anything else, Mrs. Holmes?
No, ma'am.
What happens now?
He'll tell you.
Well, what's he doing in there?
Trying to bring Mr. Lang back from the dead.
There are many motives for murder. Here, it seems we have two. A vicious, greedy woman's determination to inherit a fortune and a love for a man her own age. Even he, a man we know only as Julian, feels uneasy about her premeditated plan. In appearance, Dong Lang is a beautiful, desirable woman who is attractive to all men. The truth is that she is deranged, because no sane person plans a murder. When I return shortly with Act Two, we will learn if Gilbert Lang survives the scheme to kill him.
Doctor, I'm going crazy.
Everyone should have your problems. You're the star of that new bestseller.
Triplets?
Triplets. Very good for depression. My patients read it, they laugh out loud.
But it's my life. I work for a TV network run by an astronaut.
So he's maybe a little spaced out.
My assistant makes dirty phone calls.
Put him on hold.
My teenage daughter has become a walking sex manual.
Walking couldn't hurt.
Doctor, are you listening?
I'm reading Triplets, the funniest family saga I've read in years. Tell me more about your brother.
The workaholic. His tombstone will read. He's in a meeting.
And your sister?
Ah, the saint. She's just run off with her parish priest.
You do need help. Here, read Triplets. You could use a laugh.
Triplets, the hilarious new novel by the author of The Cracker Factory. The New York Times calls Triplets a survival manual for the heart. A wise, painfully funny book that'll make you laugh.
And cry. Did you get to the part about my mother, Our Lady of Perpetual Hypochondria? Right now, she's pretending to be in a coma.
With Triplets like you, she's got a point.
Triplets by the author of The Cracker Factory, Joyce Rebetta Burdett. Three times more fun than any book you'll read this year. A new Dell paperback bestseller.
Tom, I am so glad we came on this fishing trip.
You're not alone, pal.
Hand me another cold one, huh?
Here you go.
Thanks.
Listen, this doesn't have anything to do with fishing, but
yeah.
Do you think the way you dress has anything to do with how much you get ahead on your job?
I don't know, Tom. I really don't think so.
Well, you always look sharp at work. And...
yeah, but, you know, I'd still be just as good at my job if I wore jeans and sandals.
Then why do you dress so well?
Well, I like it.
Huh?
I like to look the best I can.
Oh, yeah?
What can I tell you, pal? I'm vain.
I could tell.
Yeah.
Maurice L. Rothschild, 6 locations in Chicago and suburbs, make it easy for you to look your best. For nearly 100 years, they've carried the kind of fine men's clothing that makes things happen.
You know, I've been buying clothes at Rothschild for years.
Why Rothschild?
I told you, Tom, it's vanity. They help me look good.
Yeah, well, 2 days out here without a shave or a shower, he don't look so good now, son.
Keeps the mosquitoes away.
Maurice L. Rothschild. At Randhurst, Harlem Irving, Ford City, Woodfield, 6 Corners, and 34th and King Drive. Maurice L. Rothschild. Let it happen.
Through the mind of a person hovering between life and death? Does his life pass before him? From what Gilbert Lang told the housekeeper, Addie Hollins, he died then disembodied, like his own ghost. He floated above his body and saw those gathered around his corpse. Is that credible? I don't know. We do know, however, that out-of-body experiences have been reported for years.
He's dead, Ness?
Did you cut the oxygen supply when you sat with Gil?
What?
Did you?
Are you accusing me?
No, I am asking a question. Now, Gil's heart seizure was caused by the cutting of the supply of oxygen. It was cut down.
And that killed him? Well, Mrs. Hollins...
No, Addie Hollins had nothing to gain by his death, Donna.
Well, do you think Gil's death is my gain? A rotten thing to say.
I didn't say it. You inferred it. Now, don't mistake me, Donna. I know that Gil was infatuated with you.
And I loved him.
Yes, we still get back to the oxygen. The flow was reduced by half. Now, only you and Mrs. Hollins were with Gil. Now, either one of you
could... Could the valve...
No, that's impossible. And Gil was in good health. He sure responded to treatment.
Well, perhaps the treatment was wrong.
Well, you're entitled to that opinion. But when Gil did not respond, I checked with my colleagues about what I had prescribed, and no one disagreed with my treatment.
But he died.
With your permission, I'll order an autopsy.
I won't give permission.
Then I will ask for an investigation.
What does that mean?
The police.
Oh, you wouldn't dare. Oh, you've never liked me, Ned. You and all of Gil's old friends.
Well, I'm sorry you feel that way. We tried.
Because of Gil. Isn't that true?
You never felt comfortable with us, Donna, or we with you. No, sir, I'll admit that. We were devoted to Gil's first wife.
Well, I loved my husband. I loved him.
And I have no reason to doubt that.
But you would just as much accuse me now of neglecting him.
No, I have not accused you. I said that I want to know why the oxygen on which his life depended was cut by half.
Well, Mrs. Hollins is an old woman. She's forgetful. If anyone fooled with that oxygen tank, it has to be her.
I intend to ask her.
Well, do that, and then ask yourself what you've done wrong. Gil was strong, and with proper medication, he should have lived.
I think so, too, Donna. Now, there's something strange about Gil's failure to respond, and I intend to have it explained. You'll excuse me.
Where are you going?
Upstairs to Gil.
No, I want you out of my house.
I will be. Shortly.
He's dead, Doctor?
No. Almost. He has hardly any pulse beat. Addie, did you tamper with the valve in the oxygen tank?
Oh, no, sir.
Yes, well, then she did.
But why?
To make sure he died.
But that would be...
Yes, murder. But she won't get away with it.
Why would she want him to die?
Money. And there may be a younger man. Now, we don't know much about Donna Lang. Do you, Addie?
Well, her mother came here once, but Mrs. Lang sent her away. Poor woman. I let her in. The father, he was in the papers a few years ago. Mike Dennis. He robbed a bank and killed a policeman and was stabbed in a prison fight and died.
Well, any young man visit Mrs. Lang, Addie?
Well, Mr. Roberts, Julian Roberts, he was a photographer she worked for when she was a model.
I see. Let me have the bottle of antibiotic pills, Addie, will you?
Yes, sir. I followed your directions.
Yes, I know. I know you have. No, that's not the point. These look like the correct pills.
That's the bottle sent by the pharmacist.
But pills can be removed and others substituted.
Think she'd do that?
Well, I don't know what she's done. We can't prove that she cut the supply of oxygen, but I might prove something with these pills. Take a break, Addie, will you? I'll stay with Mr. Lang.
All right.
And, Addie, say nothing to Mrs. Lang. She thinks her husband is dead. That's what I want her to think.
Addie. Donna.
It's Ned. Ned Eatongill.
I can breathe, Ned. I can see you. I'm looking down on you. I see you and I see me lying in bed, not breathing. I'm dead.
Gil?
I'm on a road, Ned. It's dark outside, clouds moving across the moon. There's a coach and four horses moving. Coming toward me. A black coach. And the horses are black.
Well, get in or get out. Make up your mind.
Is this a dream?
It's no dream, Mr. Lang.
Well, then what is it?
I heard they call it the pale horse.
Yes. So I did die. How do you know my name, young man? I'd rather not say.
Why not? Kill him, Julian.
No. Who are you?
You won't believe it, Mr. Lang. I'm Mike Dennis. That mean anything to you?
My wife's maiden name is Dennis.
First name Donna, right?
Yes. Would you be her father?
I'm sorry to say I am.
And this young man, Julian.
Julian Roberts.
Oh, I never knew him.
I should hope not, or you'd thrown a tramp out of your house.
Tramp? That's a serious accusation, Mr. Dennis.
I don't think it isn't true. 15 on, she was on the streets. She ran away. Broke her old lady's heart. Good riddance, I said.
I didn't know any of this.
Of course not. We were down and out. The old lady asked Donna for help. She was a model then. Told us to drop dead. And that's when I made a mistake. I helped a guy pull off a robbery and I shot a cop and it was curtains.
Well, how did you come here?
You didn't read about it, Mr. Lang? I guess you didn't. See, Mike was sent to a high-security prison upstate, and he got into a fight, and he was knifed.
Yeah, saved the state a bundle. And you come along, Mr. Lang.
This is all news to me.
Oh, there's more.
When Donna hooked you, the old lady thought she'd be on Easy Street. I'd already been arrested, and things were tough for her. So she went to Donna, and Donna threw her out. Said she had no family, never wanted to see the old lady or relatives ever again. And she never bothered Donna again. We got some pride.
Where are we going?
Well, they shift us around from time to time. I've been in this rig for years. I'm kind of a greeter.
Well, this is the death coach?
Yep.
Is it always night?
Donna's in for some shot. I hope it knocks her out.
You knew my wife, Mr. Roberts?
I did, yes, sir.
And?
I regret the whole thing.
Meaning what?
She never loved you, Mr. Lang. Didn't you know that?
I didn't want to know it. But perhaps I sensed it.
She did love me. Before she met you, we were going to get married. I was a photographer, and I photographed her many times, and we just fell in love.
But she married me, Mr. Roberts.
And planned somehow to get rid of you and then marry me.
Unbelievable.
Yes, I know, but that is the way it was.
Mr. Roberts.
Yeah?
Tell me about the murder plan.
Well, it was simple. It's the best kind, I guess. It's just a matter of the right time. You know, you catch the flu, and then she prevents you from recovering.
How?
Well, the flu develops into pneumonia, and by substituting phony pills for the real ones, you get worse.
Placebos?
Yeah, I guess that's what they're called.
So instead of treating pneumonia with antibiotics, I was treated with placebos.
Yeah, you were a dead duck. Then, when she got the chance, she'd cut the oxygen way down and hope you'd have heart failure.
That's a nasty story, Mr. Roberts.
I had nothing to do with it, and what Donna was doing made me uncomfortable. I said so last night when I had dinner with her.
May I ask why you were here?
Wait till you hear this, Mr. Lang.
After dinner, Donna took a taxi home. This whole thing was on my mind. I guess I missed a traffic light and got hit, and I was killed.
Good Lord.
You get it, Mr. Lang? She kills you to get your money and Julian. And he gets himself killed. What do you call that?
Irony, I would say.
So she left with the money, but without a lover boy. And I say it couldn't have happened to anyone worse. Let her wring her heart out. Hey, where you going, Mr. Lang?
Mr. Lang!
I still have an ounce of life in me, gentlemen. It has been an extraordinary experience meeting you. Goodbye.
That's a new one on me, Julian.
I don't think he was really dead.
Tyler, 4000.
Mr. Julian Roberts, please.
One moment.
Hurry, please, hurry.
I'm ringing. No answer, miss.
Oh. Well, can I leave a message for him?
Go ahead.
Just say, Donna phoned and it's over.
It's, over?
Yeah. My husband died.
Oh, I'm sorry, miss.
Thank you. Goodbye. That's funny. He should be home by now.
He's come back to life, Doctor.
Off my bag, Eddie.
Is that for his heart?
No. I'm giving him an injection of an antibiotic.
The pills?
Worthless.
That's my guess.
Oh, will he live?
Yes, yes. Now, lock the bedroom door, Addy. I don't want her coming in here.
Yes, yes, Doctor.
Gil.
She tried to murder me, Ned.
Yes, I know that.
Don't let her come near me.
Oh, Mr. Lang.
I met the pale horse. Four horses and a black carriage. There were two men in it. Donna's dead father and Julian Roberts. He was just killed in an automobile accident. He was her lover. I was dead, and then I came back to life, Ned.
He came back from the dead?
He was legally dead, Addie. And now he's alive.
How can that be?
Fantasy. Many persons would deny it. No one really knows what happens after death. But there have been too many instances of out-of-body experiences to dismiss them as nonsense. Mr. Lang's testimony is not enough to convict his wife of attempted murder. And Dr. Eaton cannot prove that she tampered with the oxygen supply. Can she be forced to confess? We will learn that when I return with Act 3.
Irene, you just dropped a day's pay in dishes.
Yeah, and strained my back besides.
Oh, no. Look, leave that mess there while I get some Doane's pills.
You've got some here?
In my purse. Lifting trays like we do, I always keep Doane's pills with me.
Good advice. Doane's pills for temporary relief of simple backache pain due to overexertion, stress, or strain. Use only as directed.
Irene, you finished the shift.
Because Doane's pills were on the job. They really work.
Everybody calls them age spots, and I guess that's what they are. I don't expect anything to make them all completely disappear, but I would be so happy if they were just a lot less noticeable. Not so dark.
If you have pigmentation brown spots on your skin, get Porcelana Fade Cream and stick with it.
It did take time, but they did fade.
If you're out in the sun a lot, get Porcelana with sunscreen to help keep the sun from darkening the brown spots Porcelana is trying to lighten. Use only as directed.
This is News Radio 78, WBBM, Chicago. You can get the best deal of the season on Armstrong No Wax Vinyl Tile during the Armstrong Fall Tile Fest. And that means big savings for you on Armstrong's most popular no wax floor tiles, like Armstrong Solarian, Custom Solarian, and Royal Solarian Tile. You can also save on Armstrong Stylus Silk and Vernet Vinyl no wax floor tiles. Dozens of styles and colors to choose from, and savings of up to $4 on every carton you buy. Plus, you'll save even more by installing it yourself, and it's easy. Each Armstrong 12x12 tile is self-adhering, so all you do is peel off the backing and press into place. That's it. You get great-looking results, even if you've never installed a floor before. So get your beautiful new Armstrong no-wax floor now at a great price, and save even more by installing it yourself during their Fall Tile Fest. Going on now at these fine Armstrong flooring dealers. In Chicago, see Plywood, Minnesota. In Chicago Heights, see Handy Andy. And in Crestwood, see Armor Tile and Supply. See this Sunday's Tribune for a complete list of participating dealers.
A well-conceived plan for murder has failed because of a miracle. An experience that a dying man has had that transcends the known laws of nature. The catch in what I just said is known laws. We do not know all the laws. There are unknown laws, and we have heard about one of them. Life restored after an out-of-body experience. It is moments later.
Addie, I have to visit the hospital now. I won't be long. Mr. Lang's condition is still serious, but he will live. I am almost certain of that.
Well, I'm thankful for that. What about that woman?
I don't want her in this room. Now, when I leave, I want you to lock the door. Don't open it except to me. Now, that is an order, Addie.
I won't let her in. I never want to see her again. I'd like to kill her.
Well, so would I, but we'll leave that to the law.
Get out of my way, Ned.
Sorry, Donna. No one's going into that bedroom until I return.
Who do you think you are giving orders to?
I am Gil's doctor.
He doesn't need a doctor. He needs an undertaker.
Well, you can arrange that later. Now, I have to leave for a short time, but I will be back. Until then, Mrs. Hollins has orders to keep the door locked.
Well, what's that old fool doing with him?
He's now at peace. Even you should respect that.
I'll telephone the police. Have you lost your mind? My husband, my house, and you tell... Now, there's just no point talking with you. I'm going to report this to the police.
I can't stop you, of course.
Oh, you can say that again. I'll tell you something else, Dr. Eaton. You and that incompetent old woman are responsible for Gil's death, and you're going to pay for it. I'm going to sue you, and I'm firing Mrs. Hollins tonight.
It is your privilege. Now, you'll excuse me.
I demand that you open that door.
I am almost sorry for you, Donna.
I will call the police. No, no, there must be an axe.
Ned?
I'm here, Mr. Lang.
Oh, Addie, where's the doctor?
He went to the hospital, but he said he'd be right back.
Don't let her near me, Addie.
I locked her out. Doctor's orders. She thinks you're dead.
Does she know about Julian Roberts?
I don't know. What happened to him?
He was killed in a car crash.
How do you know that?
I met him when I was half dead, Addie. You don't believe me, do you?
Well, after seeing you dead and then coming back to life, I'd believe anything.
Where have you been, Ned?
To the hospital. I had to check out some. What are you doing with that axe, Donna?
She wouldn't let me into the bedroom, so I was going to...
Give it to me.
Just what have you been up to, Ned?
Did you telephone the police?
Answer my question. You're being mighty mysterious.
So was your husband's failure to respond to my treatment. Now go downstairs and I'll be down. I want to talk to you.
Have you phoned the funeral home? I don't want the body in this house. It gives me the creeps.
I understand. I'll be with you in a few minutes.
She's been raving at me, Doctor.
Hello, Gil.
She almost got me, Ned. What a fool I've been.
Now, I've had those pills analyzed. Eddie, are these the pills you've been giving Mr. Lang?
If that's the bottle I gave you, yes, Doctor.
And you and Mrs. Lang gave him one every 4 hours?
I did. I don't know what she did.
She gave me pills, Ned.
The pills in this bottle are placebos. Harmless. But they are not antibiotics.
So Mr. Lang hasn't been giving any medicine.
And when his loving wife was on duty, she cut the oxygen in half, and that made it very hard for him to breathe. Then, heart failure and death.
Why, that's horrible.
Now, the question is, what did she do with the antibiotic pills?
Probably flushed them down the toilet.
No, I don't think so. After Mr. Lang died, she'd have to dispose of the placebos and replace them with the real pills. No, they're hidden someplace. Now, I want you to search for them.
She won't let me.
Don't worry about her, Addie. We'll leave Mr. Lang and lock him in. Now, you keep the key. She's downstairs. I want you to do two things. Place a phone call to the police from her bedroom. And tell the police that I'm charging Mrs. Lang with premeditated attempted murder. Now, use my name. When the police appear, they will hear my accusation. And if I can make it stick... They'll arrest her.
I hope she gets life in prison.
Now, once you have placed the call, Addie, begin your search. We have to find those pills.
She really scared me with what she was going to do with that axe.
Wish us luck.
I do. I owe my life to both of you.
Well, Ned, have you come to your senses?
You have, it seems. You've calmed down.
I was wild when you wouldn't let me see Gil. That was cruel. Oh, when you went out, where'd you go?
Into the hospital.
Why?
Because I just wanted to check on my medication.
Oh, then you did have doubts about what you prescribed.
No. But I'm not infallible.
So what'd you find out?
There was nothing wrong with my treatment of your husband.
Now, who's the ambulance? Did you call an
No, I'll answer the door, Donna.
Dr. Eaton? I'm Sergeant Morrison.
Oh, yes. Please, come in.
Woman telephoned, and Mrs...
Yes. If you please, Sergeant, would you let me handle this?
I didn't telephone the police.
No, I did.
You phoned the police? What for?
Bear with me, Donna.
What have you been up to?
Your husband had viral pneumonia. Any competent doctor knows the treatment for that disease. Now, he did not respond because he never received the treatment.
Are you out of your head?
Placebos were substituted for the antibiotic pills.
Oh, that's crazy.
Oh, yes, I think so, too. But that is what you did, Donna.
Are you accusing me of...
And it was you who cut the supply of oxygen in half.
Now, you deliberately, and with premeditation, set out to kill your husband.
Prove it. Prove I murdered my husband. Prove it. Will that restore him to life?
Your husband isn't dead, my dear Donna.
What? Now, that's a lie. You yourself just said...
No, I never said he was dead. He was legally dead for a brief interval, and then, miraculously, he came alive. He is alive, and he will recover.
Is this true, Ned?
Yes. And so is what I said about you substituting the pills and cutting off the oxygen. I went to the hospital to have the pills analyzed. They were placebos. Mrs. Hollins wouldn't know the difference. And as for the oxygen, Mrs. Hollins would never have done that. She's loved Gilbert Lang since he was a boy.
And on that flimsy evidence, you're accusing me of attempted murder? You're ridiculous.
When we find the antibiotic pills, and we will, you'll have to explain the substitution. And Gil saw you turn down the oxygen supply.
Well, now I know you're crazy. Gil was unconscious.
But he was hovering over his body, and he saw you turn it down.
What is this, science fiction?
An out-of-the-body experience. I can't explain it.
Well, I'll say you can't. Who would believe such rubbish?
Gil saw something else.
Are you enjoying this, Sergeant?
He met your father.
Oh, that's a real trick. My old man's been dead for years.
So Gil discovered. Your father never did have a very high regard for you, Donna.
No comment. Can you believe this, Sergeant? My husband talking to the dead? Well, what old Mike have to say,
It wasn't flattering.
Well, go on, then.
Gil also had an embarrassing talk with Julian.
Who?
The photographer you were going to marry before you met Gil Lang and his money.
Julian? Sorry, I don't know any Julian.
You had dinner with him just a few hours ago.
Oh, this gets wilder by the minute. You're making a fool of yourself, Ned. Now you send the sergeant away and you go home. I'm worn out with your lies. If Gil's alive, you're not lying about that.
He's alive.
Then I'm going up to see him.
Doctor, I found them.
I'll bring them to me out of here, Gil.
Here are the pills, Doctor.
Where were they?
Kept loose in a rolled up pair of socks.
Yes, they look like the antibiotics. Well, Donna, explain this, please.
You had Mrs. Holland snooping in my room?
I knew you wouldn't dispose of the real pills. Once Gil was dead, you'd replace the placebos with these. Where did you get them, Donna?
I have nothing to say.
I'll have them traced. The police will locate the pharmacist who made these up for you. Sergeant, I'll turn these pills over to you. I'm certain that they are the antibiotic pills. And here is the bottle of pills that were in Mr. Lang's bedroom. The pills he was given by Mrs. Hollins and Mrs. Lang. Now, I want them tested by the police. Guard them. They're evidence.
All right, Doctor. Mrs. Hollins didn't know anything about them?
No.
Well, you say Mr. Lang saw his wife turn the valve on the oxygen tank?
Yes, Sergeant.
And he said something about the pills?
Yes, that's right.
This was when he was dead? I don't get it.
Neither do I, Sergeant. Oh, there's more, Donna.
There is?
Yes, Julian.
Oh, yes, Julian?
Julian Roberts, once he came to the house.
A salesman, Mrs. Holmes?
He asked for you, and you talked with him in the library.
Julian Roberts. Oh, yes, that was his name. A great admirer of yours, Donna. Gil, he met him.
What do you mean, met him? Where?
When Gil was hovering between life and death.
Are you taking this in, Sergeant?
Gil actually entered the death coach. Now, I've told you that. He met your father, Mike Dennis, and Julian Roberts.
And the three ghouls sat in the coach and became acquainted and exchanged confidences. Is that it?
That's it.
Let me tell you something, Dr. Eden. You say Gil is alive. I don't know whether I believe you or not. No matter. But what can you prove? If Gil's alive, where is your attempted murder charge? You've got nothing against me except the sick wanderings of a half-dead man. And if he doesn't want to see me, so what? Let him divorce me. He'll pay for it.
You'll miss an important point, Donna.
Very well. Fill me in.
Gil learned about Julian Roberts when Gil rode in the death coach.
Oh, come off it, Doctor. What kind of garbage are you handing me, death coach? Do you think that spirits ride around in a carriage drawn by four black horses until they arrive at wherever they're going?
You are absurd.
Julian Roberts was in the death coach, and on his way home from dinner with you, he was killed in an automobile accident.
You don't know that?
But I do. When I was at the hospital having the pills analyzed, I made a point of checking emergency. By that time, Julian Roberts had been taken to the morgue.
No, it's another of your tricks.
No, ma'am. I was at the station house when the accident was reported. Mr. Roberts was dead on arrival.
No! Julian!
You planned to kill my friend Gil Lang. We have the evidence of the pills, and we know that Julian Roberts was your lover. We also know that Mrs. Hollins did not cut the supply of oxygen. You are an evil, deadly woman, Donna. A jury will surely convict you of attempted murder.
Why, Ned?
Well, I'm not a psychiatrist, Gil. Older man, money, lonely, beautiful young model. It's an old story.
But to marry me and to plan my murder?
You're free of her. Maybe it was Julian's idea.
I don't think so. I talked with him for only a moment or so. I got the impression that he was uneasy about what Donna planned. You told her he died.
Yes, that's what broke her down. Until then, she was as cold as ice.
Do we have a case against her, Ned?
Switching the pills is hard evidence. What you heard when you were out of body would probably be dismissed as hysteria.
It's true, though, Ned. I've never had an experience like that.
Well, maybe it's one we all have in store for us.
And so the death coach with Mike Dennis and Julian Roberts, but not with Gilbert Lang, goes on its spectral way. Where, no one knows. A man wrote that murder, like talent, seems occasionally to run in families. So perhaps Donna Lang came by her twisted thoughts naturally. Her father was a killer. Only through the intervention of a phenomenon did Donna Lang fail. I will return shortly.
Our historical guest today is Julius Caesar, one of the greatest military leaders of all time. Sir, what do you think of the 20th century?
I love your highways.
Highways?
Yes, you have marvelous highways. I could move a lot of Roman legions along those roads. Now, according to this map...
Yes, of course. But what else do you like about the modern world, Caesar?
Medical care. You've made so much progress. It would certainly have helped my epilepsy.
Epilepsy? Julius Caesar had epilepsy?
Yes, and it was a real nuisance. My doctors didn't have a clue about it. But with today's medical advances, there's no telling what the great Caesar couldn't have conquered. Let's have another look at that road map, shall we?
Epilepsy. We've come a long way. Ask the people who know. Send a stamped, self-addressed envelope to the Epilepsy Foundation of America, Washington, D.C., 20013.
Or listen to the news without encountering murder. It is diminishing because it is an evil which can strike any one of us. Its roots are in natural desires raised to excess. Prudence becomes greed. Rejection breeds revenge. Ambition can lead to despotism. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could moderate our human appetites? Our cast included Mandel Kramer, Earl Hammond, Elspeth Eric, and Marion Selders. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now a preview of our next tale.
I want a quart of strawberry ice cream.
Did you hear what I said?
Yeah, I heard you, but you have to wait your turn. I'm sorry.
What do you mean, you're sorry?
Look, pal, I'm sorry for you.
Why are you sorry for me?
Because you ain't got no manners.
All the rest of you, you sorry for me, too? You only think you're sorry. I'll give you something to really be sorry about.
He's got a gun!
No, please don't!
The gun is one of those 9mm automatics, so popular today with assassins. It fires 14 shots so rapidly you can scarcely count them. In less time than it takes to tell, the Holocaust is complete. This is Tammy Grimes, inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Yes, excuse me. I'm terribly sorry to bother you. I'm from the company down the hall. Could I trouble you for a paperclip?
Here you go.
Thank you so much. Oh, say, can I borrow some of these rubber bands?
Sure, take some.
Thank you once again. You're a real angel. Well, I've got to get back to the office. Could I use your pencil sharpener?
Why not?
May I borrow a pencil?
Hey, what business are you in?
I'm an efficiency expert.
Well, haven't you ever heard of Chandler's office products?
Well, as a matter of fact, no.
Well, Chandler's has everything you need for your office. They've been serving Chicagoland since 1895 with stores in Evanston, Highland Park, Libertyville, and Wheeling. You can pick up the best in office supplies from pencils and pens to office furniture. So if you need anything for your office, you need Chandler's.
Oh, that's marvelous. Fantastic. I'm going over to Chandler's right now and pick up everything I need. Oh, just one more thing.
What?
Could I borrow your car?
It's 11:24. Good evening, everyone. This is Millard Hanson with WBBM News Radio 78. And this is the latest news. Opponents of restarting the undamaged reactor at the Three Mile Island Nuclear Power Complex in Pennsylvania say too many questions remain unanswered. And a coalition of anti-nuclear energy groups says the Nuclear Regulatory Commission made a premature decision to consider listing orders that have kept the plant shut down. An NRC hearing is set for December the 10th. Warning sirens sounded today in Duxbury, Massachusetts, near the Pilgrim Nuclear Power Plant. A utility company spokesman says they were set off by a bolt of lightning. A brush fire begun by an arsonist continues north of Los Angeles tonight, but officials say the flames' progress has slowed. More than 900 acres of brush have been scorched. No structures are said to be threatened, although an elementary school was evacuated earlier because of smoke. A hospital administrator in Florida calls two plane crash victims lucky individuals. The two men were rescued today after clinging to cushions for nearly 2 days in a shark-infested area of the Atlantic. They suffered fish bites, jellyfish stings, sunburn, and dehydration, but are said to be mainly concerned about getting some sleep. A third survivor was rescued yesterday. Two Air Force crewmen are hospitalized with injuries after their F-111A jet crashed today near Mountain Home Air Force Base in Idaho. The pair ejected after their cockpit filled with smoke. Preliminary findings were announced today from an investigation into why a U.S. Army helicopter crashed last month in West Germany, killing 46 people. Clogged oil jets in the forward transmission are being blamed. About 400 other choppers in the same type of transmission will remain grounded pending inspection. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled that the federal government can be held liable for negligent safety inspections of a new aircraft. The case involves the 1973 crash landing of a Boeing 707 in France that killed 124 people. The plane was forced to make an emergency landing when a smoky fire broke out in a lavatory. Varig Airlines is suing the government, claiming it negligently certified the plane as safe. President Reagan is calling the official banning of the Solidarity Labor Federation in Poland is horrible. The Polish parliament voted today to formally disband the independent federation, and it took steps to stop future unions from gaining Solidarity's national influence. Reagan plans to make an announcement on the Polish situation tomorrow in his weekly radio address. China has taken issue with Reagan's statement Wednesday that the end of the U.S. arms sales to Taiwan depends on China's peaceful reunification. China's official news agency says that violated a recent Sino-U.S. communique in which Reagan said the sales would gradually be halted. Memorial services will be held Monday in Los Angeles for actor-director Fernando Lamas. The Argentine-born entertainer died today of cancer. He was 67. And finally this, a Pittsburgh high school has once said no to that majorette who said they say is a pound and a half overweight. Peggy Ward's father met with school officials for an hour and a half today, but they wouldn't budge on their ban. They say the girl has to shed the excess weight before they'll let her march at the school's football games. WPBM News Time, 11:27. It's 58 degrees.
This is Spectrum. Personal opinion on issues of public interest from six different viewpoints. Now, one of those perspectives.
I'm Joe Sobrin. A few weeks ago, when the Pope met with Yasser Arafat, an official of the Menachem Begin government, probably Begin himself, was quoted as charging angrily that the Catholic Church had said nothing for 6 years during Hitler's massacre of Jews. One would expect other voices of the Jewish community to rush to correct the record. As far as I know, they haven't. It was left to the Vatican itself to call this remark an outrage to the truth. In response, the liberal weekly The New Republic, which has taken a Beganite tone of its own lately, repeated the charge. Quote, "The indifference of Pius XII to the extermination of the Jews has been incontrovertibly documented." Unquote. The magazine didn't mention the document in which this has been incontrovertibly documented for the simple reason that no such document exists. In point of fact, Pius XII, in his 1942 Christmas message, denounced the persecution of hundreds of thousands of people by nationality and race. The New York Times called Pius a lonely voice crying out of the silence of a continent. So far from being silent, he was one of the few who said anything. Apart from speaking out, Pius worked behind the scenes to save Jews and others by supplying them with forged documents allowing them to escape Hitler's forces. After the war, Jewish leaders were grateful. The chief rabbi of Jerusalem, Isaac Herzog, promised that the people of Israel will never forget what the Pope and his delegates had done for the Jews in the most tragic hour of our history. Pius died in 1958. It was only in the 60s that the slander against his memory began to circulate. As far as I know, nobody ever made the charge until the German playwright Rolf Hochhuth wrote a play called The Deputy, in which Pius was depicted as a cowardly equivocator who refused to speak out against genocide. Time and again, the Catholic Church has condemned anti-Semitism. Pius XI said that spiritually we are all Semites, and the Second Vatican Council officially condemned anti-Semitism, the only case I know of one religion condemning persecution of another. Yet anti-Catholic libels continue. The Jewish press has now blamed the Pope himself for the massacres in Beirut, saying the Christian phalangists who killed Palestinians were, quote, following his guidance. It didn't explain how meeting a Palestinian leader could inspire the murder of Palestinians, but then anger and hatred aren't very rational. This is Joe Sobrin for Spectrum.
Six personal points of view on Spectrum. Opinions not necessarily those of this station or the CBS radio network.
This is News Radio 78, WBBM Chicago. Good evening, everybody. It's Friday, the 8th of October. I'm Millard Hanson at the anchor desk, and our producer-editor, Mona Lehman, our technician, Gerhard Steffen, and these are the top stories on WBBM at 11:30.